Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion of the beginning of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
Well, here's something about preaching, though. There was a service where the preacher just went on. I mean, long sermon. Finally, a guy gets up to walk out. He's walking out, and the preacher says, "Where are you going, Brother John?" And John says, "I'm going to get a haircut." And the preacher said, "Well, why didn't you do that before you came?" He says, "I didn't need it then." You'll think about that a little while and it'll be okay. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. You don't get that one? You don't think it's fun? I thought it was great. Matthew 1, and we're going to read verses 18 to 25 as we pursue the Christmas text that tell us about the birth of Christ. And we need to remember that what this is about. This is God becoming human. Awesome thing. Now, Matthew's record, it goes this way. Verse 18, chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, had in mind to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So once again, in order to understand the passage, we think about the purpose. Why did the Holy Spirit cause Matthew to include this paragraph of Scripture in his book? Well, it's a simple reason and purpose. It's an announcement by the angel to Joseph that Mary will have a son by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph is to take Mary as his wife. Now, last week we studied in Luke 1 the announcement of the angel to Mary. And this amazing statement, "Mary, you're going to have a son, and he'll be great, the son of the highest," and so on. She says, "How can it be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel explains it. Now, she is already pregnant. She is already conceived, and Joseph knows about it, and he becomes concerned. So it's necessary that the Lord get the word to Joseph so that he will understand what is taking place. So this is simply the announcement to Joseph that Mary will have a son by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph is to take Mary as his wife. So let's consider, first of all, then, this angelic messenger, the angel messenger. We don't know the names of many angels. We know about Gabriel, who came to Daniel. Gabriel came to Mary. This angel isn't named here, but it sure makes us think that it's probably Gabriel. We don't know that. His name is unknown. It simply says he is an angel of the Lord. Now, when this phrase occurs in the Old Testament, and it speaks of the angel of the Lord, many biblical scholars call this a Christophany. It's actually Christ, pre-Bethlehem appearance. But this is not true here, because it's an angel of the Lord, not the angel of the Lord. And the basic meaning of angel is messenger. So they come as messengers, and he is an angel of the Lord. Now, to whom does he give the message? Who is the receiver? We learn that it's Joseph. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph. So Joseph receives the message. What do we know about Joseph? Not a great deal, really. He is sometimes called the forgotten man. In fact, there's a book about him, The Forgotten Man. And there aren't many facts, but simply some things about Joseph, as much as we could know. Well, his name, we know, here's a man named Joseph. And we learn that he is engaged to Mary, this girl living in Nazareth, who has been chosen by God to bear the Savior. She is conceived by the Holy Spirit. So his name is Joseph. He's engaged to Mary. We learn that by trade he is a carpenter, and he has his shop in Nazareth, a hill country there in the land. And it says that he is a just man, or sometimes called a righteous man. Or as we think of what he did, he is a compassionate man. Now, what could have happened here is that Joseph could have accused Mary of fornication, or actually adultery, because an engagement was much more binding than in our day. It's almost considered as a wedding, although they haven't lived together yet. But Joseph, by law, could have brought Mary before the city magistrates, placed her there, accused her of adultery, and she would have been stoned to death. It would be the death penalty for her. Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was thinking of putting her away secretly. He wasn't going to do this. He was going to come to her side and not bring her before the city magistrates, but let her be put away secretly. That is, she could be with her parents and get along, and she would not have been legally put to death. So here is the angel messenger, and here is the message to Joseph. Now, what is the circumstances? Mary is pregnant before their marriage. Now, what do you make of this? You know, if you were a man and you were Joseph, and that became known to you, what would you tend to think? You would tend to think of it in human terms. And so this announcement by God to Joseph is absolutely necessary to say to her, to Joseph, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph needs to know that. That is the vital message for this man. engaged to this girl, Mary. Her pregnancy is by the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual power and energy of the Holy Spirit who brings about a conception in her womb. It is a miracle. It is a miracle that's beyond the miracle of birth as we know it. Isn't, when you stop to think about it, isn't every pregnancy a miracle? It isn't every birth a miracle? It is. But this goes beyond that, in that God does not use the man, the male. He only uses the woman. And by his own holy spiritual energy, brings about the conception in her womb. And so Joseph is hearing the message, but he has been considering what to do. And it said that the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid to take unto you Mary, your wife." So there's a fear there, and there's a wonder. What do I do now? What's happening here? So the angel gives him the divine explanation. First of all, again, regarding Mary's pregnancy. Joseph, Mary is a chosen instrument of the Lord God Almighty. Her pregnancy is not by a man. It is by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, he explains to him what he should do about marriage. He tells him, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife." Now, that would have been unheard of in human terms. Just would not have happened. But since he gets the message from the Lord, he is to take Mary as his wife. Now, regarding the child, it says, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit," verse 21. "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." So Joseph is learning here what's going on. Mary, the girl to whom he is engaged, is with child by the Holy Spirit. This is what's going to happen. She is going to have a son. Now, in those days, they weren't able to predict that. They didn't know. So the angel has some miraculous information here. He's going to have a son. And then he tells Joseph that about his name and his mission. He is to be named Jesus. That's what they did. Mary called him Jesus. Joseph named him Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And the angel is going to explain to Joseph the mission of this unique and different and only child born like this, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is his mission? The angel said he will save. Now, that's a word that's so common to us as believers that we sometimes forget that unbelievers don't think of this in terms of their own life. And if you walk down the street and you grab somebody by the shoulder and said, do you want to be saved? They would blink and say, "Saved from what? I'm going out for coffee. Things are okay. I don't need to be saved from anything." But it's a term that's real to us. He will save. We need to be saved. And it's a good word, and we should not neglect to use it just because they don't understand it. Only God can cause them to understand. But he will save. He will deliver. He will rescue us in our desperate need because he is the Savior. And he is the only Savior. And the only way a Savior could come into the world is like this. The Savior could have no earthly father because the sin nature is transmitted through the man. And although Eve and Adam both sinned, yet in the economy of God, in the legal system, the man is responsible for the transmission of the sin nature. Therefore, a Savior, to be sinless and to offer a perfect sinless sacrifice for sin, could not have an earthly father because he would have a sin nature. So he is the only possible person who qualifies as the Savior. Couldn't possibly be Abraham, Moses, Buddha, Confucius, any Hindu, any Arab, any English, no one. There is only one. And we come to the Lord through him. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's right. He is the Savior, the only one. And I was impressed by Darren's thoughts about the hymn we sang, "A Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And it's either in the second verse where we read, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity." What a message. That's Christmas. "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. When you see Jesus, and you do in the scripture, then you see the Godhead." Now, one time Jesus was talking about his death and his return to the disciples. And he came to the verse, John 14:6, where it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And Philip came to him and said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. We'll be satisfied." And Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you this long, and you don't understand? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity." He is the Savior. And he will save. Secondly, it says he will save whom? His people. This is not a statement of universal redemption. This is a statement of election. This is a statement of limited atonement. This is a statement that he will fulfill his purpose exactly, sufficiently and adequately, and he will not be a defeated Savior because he came to do something he couldn't do because the free will of men was holding him back. He will save his people, the chosen people, the elect people. That's definite. From what? From their sins. And this is the gospel. Here it is. She'll bring forth a son. You call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. We need to remember that, because so many other things get in the way. We think things are more important than being saved from sin. Here's the only thing you need this morning. The only thing I need is to be saved from my sin. That's all. Faye can go to heaven with a bad stomach, and I can go to heaven with a bad knee, and you can go to heaven broken, whatever. That's insignificant compared to being saved from sin, because that's what would rob me of heaven. I need to be saved from my sin. That's my need, and that's our message, and we need to alert people to that. I just want to mention again that this is a definite statement you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sin. That is not maybe. That is not perhaps. That is not I hope so. That is powerfully real. It's a fact. And it happened. And that's what he's doing. Now the angel follows through with a statement about a prophetic declaration. Now, there is such a subject we take at school called apologetics, which is a sort of called a defense of the faith. Why do you believe? Why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, we do that by faith. That's really the final answer. But is it a stupid faith? Is it an unreliable faith? Do we have reason to believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, we say so. Of course, the unbeliever says no. But we say so, and things become very real to us. And one is the prophecies in the Bible, particularly the prophecies concerning Christ. For instance, the little book of Micah. In chapter 5, verse 2, Micah's writing to say that out of thee, O Bethlehem, shall come he who is to be ruler of my people. Matthew of Micah, 500 years before, pinpoints a little city in a little country on this earth to be the birthplace of the Savior. Did it happen? Exactly. And next week we'll learn how God got Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem so the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. But I wanted to read, well, let's look at verse 23, which is the statement here in the passage about the prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now that's from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I thought while we were on this that I would also read a passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you want to turn to that, please, let's just consider another statement about Christ. This one says in 7:14, a virgin shall be with child, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah is possibly 800 years before Christ. In chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah writes this statement. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and on over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with just judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. A statement about a child born. To us a son is given, the government upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. No other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the announcement of the angel about the birth and about the mission of the Son. Now what's going to happen to Joseph? Verse 24. Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife, and did not know her, did not have union with her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What we see here is the unfolding of God's plan from before the creation of the world, that he would choose Mary to be the mother, that he would choose Joseph to be the husband, and that these people would respond to his call and his plans being fulfilled. God's purpose is going on. We need to know that about Christmas. So here comes an astounding, amazing announcement to Mary. An astounding, amazing announcement to Joseph. How will it be handled? So we need to ask the question, what if Mary had said, no way? I refuse. I will not be the Lord's servant. I will not accept this announcement. And I will refuse to be the instrument through which the Savior had been born. What if when the angel came to Joseph, he said, no way, I refuse to be her husband. I will not follow through on this. And so the Godhead has a problem. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have to have a summit conference. And they don't need Jimmy Carter to help them. But anyway, they're going to have a summit conference and they're going to say, what do we do? We can't get Mary to cooperate. And Joseph is refusing our plan. We've got to have plan B. We've got to do something here. We're in trouble. We can't get human beings to do what we want them to do. No. God's been fulfilling his plan through Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David and here in the New Testament, through Mary and Joseph. God chooses them, gives them direction, and causes them to respond. And when the predestined moment comes for God's chosen people to believe they will, because it is irresistible grace on the part of the Holy Spirit who regenerates us and causes the response. God doesn't take, quote, chances on human cooperation. He just does it, and his plan is being fulfilled. Now, the response for today, then. As we are exposed to the Word of God, and we have the truth before us, in these days, what is our response? We respond to the gospel. We respond to the mission of the Savior. And we come and trust him for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of eternal life. And we do not reply in defiance or rebellion, but we say as Mary, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Yes, I accept my salvation. I accept the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life through the death and resurrection of my Savior. I trust you for that. That's the response. Yes, Lord, I worship you and I serve you today under your sovereign authority, and I no longer place my life at my own disposal, trying to make my own decisions, trying to live life the way I say it should be. But I fully surrender to you and place myself at your disposal and under the direction and power of your word. So we trust him for salvation and we become his servants and we live with thankful hearts for God's marvelous grace in our salvation. Not just in the beginning, but today. We are here, we're worshiping, we're Bible students. Why? Because of God's grace that began but continues, and he's faithful to us. And what a marvelous Christmas we can have because of what God has taught us and what he's doing in our life. And we don't need to make the mistakes of the secular world, but we worship him and we serve him and we praise his holy name. Let's do that together. Heavenly Father, how wonderful is your great plan and purpose. How we thank you for bringing about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him to bring us our salvation. And Lord Jesus, we bow before you in prayer this morning, and we say thank you for your life here on earth of sinless perfection, and thank you for your sinless sacrifice on the cross, and for the power and glory of your resurrection. And dear Holy Spirit, we bow in prayer to you and thank you that in the predestined timing you came to us and won our hearts and conquered us and regenerated us and caused us to respond humbly and thankfully to you. And we thank you, dear Lord, that we are here this morning under your continuing grace, responding to you with all glory and honor, and say to you, we want to give the Lord the glory due his name. And we thank you for each other and for the sense of love and fellowship and friendship we enjoy at this Christmas time. And we know it all comes from you. And with grateful hearts, we say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.